Welcome everyone to the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. I am your host, Renee Erdman. I'm a certified dog trainer and behavior consultant and own bravodog.ca, as well as thementorshipcollective.com. I'm really excited today to have Lily Chin, who is an amazing artist. You may have seen her illustrations if you are involved in the dog training or dog behavior world. In my eyes, she's an advocate and a translator for dog behavior and putting it into a format so that it is accessible for all. And I'm just so excited to have her. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Welcome, Lily Chin. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have a chat with you so that people can get to know you a little bit better. I would love for you to just quickly introduce yourself and tell us what it is that you do for people that don't know.
Hi, Renee. Thank you for having me. So a little bit about what I do. I started drawing dogs back in around 2007, 2008. I started as a pet portrait artist. So I did that for a couple of years. And then when I adopted my dog Boogie, I started illustrating my training adventures with him on my blog for him back then. And then that kind of led me into drawing infographics and various things with dog trainers and books, people like Dr. Sophia Yin and Grisha Stewart. And from there, I moved into creating more art for fun that I sell as prints and gift products and things from my Etsy shop. I also sell them online from my website. And so I think a general view of what I do is a combination of like doing illustration projects and making art to sell.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then more recently, I had my first published book as author and illustrator of doggy language, a little gift book about dog language.
Yep. Yes. And we will definitely chat a little bit more about that as we move along through the episode. So tell us all a little bit about your training journey with Boogie and how that affected you and your art.
Okay, so over 10 years ago, I adopted my Boston Terrier Boogie. He was about 3 years old at the time. And he, there was like a big turning point in my experiences with Boogie. And that was shortly after I adopted him, he bit somebody who happened to be my building manager. And I was threatened with eviction. And it was like, I was given an ultimatum, either get rid of your dog or move out. And I didn't want to do either of those things. I wanted to keep my dog and I was desperate to fix the problem. So I said, okay, you know, let me find a trainer. And at the time I was pretty clueless. So I Googled dog training and basically picked the first person who showed up. And I should also mention that this was sort of back in the early, around 2007-ish, right, and when the Dog Whisperer show was really huge on TV and everybody was quoting Cesar Millan. So I was also on that bandwagon and I thought he was everything. He was God's gift to dogs. I didn't know any better at the time. So when this trainer whom I hired said, you know, okay, you need to show him that you're dominant and we need to put a prong collar on him and you need to correct every time he looks at another dog or another person, you need to correct him with this collar. I thought that was, okay, this is how it's done. You know, this is what Cesar Millan says. This is what she's saying. Okay, this is how we'll do it. And, everything went horribly wrong. Boogie became more aggressive. He became more terrified of people. He became kind of depressed. And I was I was totally stressed as well. So I, you know, to cut a long story, detailed story short, I reached out on the internet. I read books. I started reading Karen Pryor's book. I read books by different dog trainers. And I learned that there's a whole other world out there of positive reinforcement dog training, clicker training. So I thought, wow, you know, I want to learn more about this. So I bought a clicker and I started just doing like loose leash walking with Boogie on my own and targeting and different things. And I just saw him come to life. Like he just blossomed. He was so happy. He really had fun. And I thought, oh my God, this is, you know, and this change in him led me to want to learn more about clicker training and positive reinforcement training. And I asked lots of questions online. I found trainers like Sarah Owings and Emily Lalam of Kiko Pup, and you know, learned about BAT and you know, different, you know, my mind is blanking right now on names. and yeah, so I kind of crossed over to not using the prong, getting rid of the prong collar and getting rid of all those tools and changing dog trainers. And we changed to Sarah Owings and did that and just saw a different boogie. And that was so inspiring to me that I was just writing about all this in my blog back in the days when people had blogs. And I mean, the way I learn is, you know, I feel the need to draw things out in little diagrams. And I mean, that's kind of how I learn. When I take notes, when I listen to webinars or go to conferences, whatever, I'm always sketching my notes out because that helps me remember. So I had all this stuff in the blog and which led me to know more dog trainers, and that's how my work moved into illustrating for dog trainers.
Yeah, well, you're really somewhat of a pioneer in this area, in my opinion. I've been in the dog training field now for about 10 years myself. I had just sort of entered when you at about that time, I think, that you started. So it really, your artwork has really impacted, I think, a lot of people and brought these training messages really to life. You know, and, you know, the free resources that you provide, I've been using them for years. They're a godsend, you know, and I think that, I don't know if you know that. So.
Thank you so much. I mean, it always makes me feel good to hear this, that something I'm creating is useful to other people. That just makes me feel really good. At the time when I first started doing drawings like Doggy Language and How Not to Greet a Dog, I was drawing from my own experience, my own personal experience of Boogie, because every time somebody did something like stared at him or reached out to touch him or tried to kiss him, and he would snap. So it all came from my experience of Boogie having a reactive dog, and I didn't expect it to hit a nerve with so many other people. And so that was amazing when it went viral, and you know, other people could relate to this, and you know, so.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite remarkable how artwork, I think, can really end up advocating for animal welfare. And I think that your work does play a big part in that, especially in the humane positive reinforcement training area. So I won't gush too much more,
The other thing too was that at that time, this was like in around 2008, there wasn't, I mean, I know there's a lot of artwork out there that's not just by me. I don't think I'm completely unique. I think there are other artists who are doing, I mean, there are other illustrations out there for body language, right? But today, but back in like around 2008, I couldn't find anything. Like I had Turit Rugas's book and I had Brenda Loft's book. And that was pretty much it. Like I was amazed that this information wasn't more public. And I mean, the Dog Whisperer Show certainly didn't cover it. And nobody knew anything about stress signals or calming signals or, you know. Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm going to draw this and let people know. But well,
And I think that it comes from such a genuine place. That really, really helps. You know, these were your experiences, and it's also it's accurate information. This is not, you know, just you whipped it up out of your head. You've worked with some, you know, really, really great trainers. So I think that that's important too. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you choose particular projects right now. And have you, or do you turn away projects?
Okay. So I would say most of my projects are people, dog trainers or organizations hiring me to do them. So a lot of the infographics that you see floating around on the internet are not written by me. They're written by somebody else, a professional, and I'm the illustrator, so I do the illustrations. I also have ideas that are interesting to me that I do on my own with help from professionals. So like a lot of the free posters on my website, doggydrawings.net/free posters, a lot of those are not paid projects. Those are just me and another person, a trainer, thinking, oh, this is a great idea, let's do it. And we offer it free to the public. It's just a collaboration piece that's free for the public to use. So it depends. Like I have a variety of stuff. Like there are things that I do for hire, and there are things that I do because I have personal interest in it and I just feel like doing it. Yeah. I have also turned away projects. It's usually because I'm too busy and I don't have the time. But I also have been approached to do projects that I just didn't really completely agree with. So yeah. I would say, oh, I don't think that's for me. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It has to align with what you feel is, I don't know, not accurate, but it has to align with what you do and how you feel and what you think, right?
Yeah. And you know, and I know that like terminology and techniques, there's so many different ways to say the same thing too. And if I've already done something, I'm not likely to repeat myself to do it again, unless, you know, like a more accurate version comes along.
You're not going to repeat it. Yeah, that makes sense. And I love that you do a variety of different animals too. It's fantastic. Like, I think you did some really amazing bird illustrations that were just a little bit more, they're definitely your style, but they're just a little bit different than what you normally do. And I just love them. They're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. What's been the most rewarding project that you've worked on so far?
Oh gosh. I don't know if I can just pull one out the bunch.
Maybe one that sticks out in your brain the most, for whatever reason.
Okay, so there's the dog park posters, I think. So I have done like three, out of the top of my head, I can think of three dog park projects, and they were all, I feel quite proud of them. One of them, I think the first lot was for IAABC. You know, how to, again, the sort of dog body language related, how to recognize if your dog is scared at a dog park and how to tell if a dog is being bullied. The message was, okay, if your dog is scared or if your dog is being a bully, then it's time to leave. And then I also did some dog park posters for the city of Charleston in South Australia. So there are big, huge billboard size posters. I didn't draw them at that size, but they were printed at that size. And the questions were like, does your dog want to be here? And then there were different illustrations of dogs being happy and playing and saying, yes, they do. There was another one, does your dog want to be here? And their dogs showing stress signals, chasing, bullying, whatever. And those posters got licensed out to many different dog parks. So I love that it had a big reach.
Yeah.
And I also did some dog park illustrations for another park in Australia. And there were just different enrichment ideas that people could have with their dog at the park. And that was really cool. I don't think that's appeared much on the internet yet.
Nice. Yeah. Which brings me to talking about your book, Doggy Language, because body language is just, well, why don't I let you tell me why that was so important to you to create this book and make it available for the masses, essentially?
Okay, so I'm really glad I did this book. So I was actually contacted by Summersdale Publishers back about 2 years ago, and they had seen my doggy language poster on the internet, the one starring Boogie the Boston Terrier. And they asked me if I was interested in turning that poster into a book. And at the time, I was kind of reluctant because I thought, well, it's a free download. Why, you know, is it going to sell? Like, why would anyone buy it if it's a free download? And they said, oh, no, no, we think it could still make a good book. But I kind of forgot about it. And they came back to me again, like 2 years later, and asked me again. And I thought, okay, well, let's try it as a book. But then as we were discussing it, Summersdale suggested that I draw lots of different dogs instead of just Boogie. You know, how about I do as many different dog breeds as I can in this book? And I thought that was a brilliant idea because, you know, Boogie has no tail. And so there's only so much I can say with a dog with no tail. I mean, like, I thought it was a brilliant idea to show different dogs with different body types and different ear types and, you know, eyes and mouths and tails. So that's how the book happened. But what's really important to me about this book is that it takes a subject that I think everybody should know about, and I'm trying to make it as accessible as possible, to make it simple and fun to look at. And the gift book format is sort of perfect because my brief from the publisher was actually they gave me a word count, like no more than 100 words per page. And in the, you know, the first draft of the book was actually a lot simpler than it is now, but then we decided that we needed more words to get the message across. So it's a little bit more detailed than it started with. So your question about how this started was from my own personal experience when I was training Boogie, when I was helping him overcome his fear and reactivity. As I said earlier, I was using aversive tools like a prong collar. So I was videoing myself doing these little training exercises, and I had just read Thurit Rugas's book and become aware of calming signals and dog body language. So when I was watching myself training Boogie and I saw myself tugging on his collar, I suddenly noticed the lip lick, the head turn, the yawn, the eye blink, the move away. I saw all these signals, and it was kind of like a big moment for me because I had watched this video lots of times earlier and I didn't notice any of this. But it was until I was made aware that calming signals exist and dog body language exists, until I was made aware of these, that what these signals look like, I didn't see them in the video. So when I saw them in the video, it was like, oh my God, my dog is stressed. Look at him. He's like, you know, I can't believe I'm doing this to my dog. And that helped me change the way I trained and helped me rethink what I was doing. So I think, like, as simple as a book this is, I feel like it has the potential perhaps to help people see things they may not have seen before. Because once you see them, once you see these signals, you can't unsee them. Once you know they exist, then, you know.
Yeah. And you recognize them everywhere with every dog. That's,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can be also a bit distressing because now you go out and walk your dog and you see other dogs and you say, oh my God, he's stressed. Oh, that dog's stressed too. Oh, there's another stressed dog. And you just see stress everywhere. And it's kind of a bit, you know, it's a bit depressing. But you see it, and then you see it in your own dog, and you know that there's something you can do to help your dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Better.
It really is when you think about body language. If we don't understand body language, we don't understand dogs, period. You know, yeah. I mean, that really is the key to understanding. And I think that is a big thing that has sort of been lacking for education for the general public. Yeah. You know, like it really, TV shows, all those things, like just sort of skipped over it.
Yep, definitely. I think like there are a lot of misconceptions about dog body language, in that, you know, if your dog is not barking, then they're calm. You know, if they're not wagging, if they're wagging their tail, then they're happy. So there are all these myths out in the general public on the internet. So we don't know the nuances. The nuances are not taught to us.
Yeah, the subtleties are, if they're not using overt behavior, it tends to be completely missed a lot of the time. I think it's getting better. And I mean, you know, with resources like yours and more trainers talking about it and sharing information, I think it is getting better. And that really, I think as a trainer, that's part of our sort of responsibilities, to educate people about body language. So I do think it's getting better. But I think that, yeah, is there any, do you think there's going to be a second book? Is that?
So, you know, I have people asking me this all the time. So
no pressure.
Book, you know, how about cats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't forget the cats. We adopted two cats earlier this year. So now I have, like, you know, cat people asking me. I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know yet. I feel like there are lots of ideas percolating inside my head, but I haven't organized them yet.
I think you probably have enough work for the rest of your life to do in terms of animal behavior and illustration.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still open to doing animal behavior work. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd love to do more work related to the science of animal behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that really interests me.
Did you do? I think you did some work with Dr. Susan Friedman. Did you not? I could be wrong.
No, I did the LLA course with Dr. Susan Friedman. Yes.
Yeah,
and we have talked about collaborating on some posters, mm-hmm. or a book or some sort of project. That is kind of one of those projects that is percolating inside my head right now. I feel like I still feel like I have a lot to learn, and so I'm reading and researching and
I love that. You probably could be a dog trainer if you weren't an illustrator or an artist. Well, I don't know if you'd want to.
I think I'm a terrible trainer. I'm actually a terrible trainer.
Oh, well, I'm sure that you're probably much better than the average person, but it's tough. And I think that you've really found something, it sounds like you really enjoy, and is really rewarding. And I think,
yeah. I mean, I enjoy taking information that I think is really helpful to people and their dogs and to the world, and being able to put it into a illustrative format to make it more accessible to more people. So I enjoy that. There is a challenge in that I really like.
Yeah. Well, essentially you're a translator, in my opinion. I don't know if that resonates or not. Yeah. Yeah. So tell everyone where they can find this fantastic book. Where is it?
Okay, so if you go to doggylanguagebook.com, that's D-O-G-G-I-E, languagebook.com, one word. I have a list of different places you can buy. It's available on Amazon. It's on bookshop.org. You can also get it from your local bookshop. Or you go to indiebound.org. You can see where it's sold. And I also sell it. I sell signed copies from my own website.
Very cool. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of trainers are purchasing these books to share with their clients, which is great. And I think it's just a staple that everybody should have in their library if they have a dog. Great gift idea, I think, as well. Yeah.
Yes, it's cheap. It's only about 10 bucks.
Well, it's worth about, well, in Canada, it's probably double that here. So, but it's still worth every penny. So, yeah. So I wanted to say a big thank you for joining us to chat today. I love it. It's been great getting to know you. And your work is actually going to be featured shortly on my own podcast. We are launching a new brand and I'm so, so thankful for it. It looks beautiful. So
exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you, Renee.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll all keep our eyes peeled for your new projects, of course.
All right. Thanks so much.
Take care, Lily. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on today's episode, and a huge thanks to Lily Chin for chatting with us. Don't forget, you can find us on Instagram at Bravo Dog Training, and if you have a minute, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we will see you next time.